عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
یہاں احمدیوں کی اکثریت ان لوگوں کی ہے جو پیدائشی احمدی ہیں یا وہ لوگ جن کے گھر میں انتہائی بچپن میں احمدیت آئی اور ان کی پروان
میجورٹی آف دی احمدیز ہے are either those who are born Ahmadis or whose families accepted Ahmadiyyat when they were very young and they were brought up in an Ahmadi environment. Also, many of them are of Pakistani origin and they have been granted permission to live in this country and become its citizens because after coming here they reported that they were or are not allowed to freely practice or express their faith and the Islamic teachings. There may also be some who directly faced court proceedings. Therefore, majority of the people here have been granted permission or the government here has shown compassion because you say you are Ahmadis. Thus, declaring yourselves as Ahmadis places certain responsibilities upon you. And those Ahmadis are also not exempt from these responsibilities who have come to this country due to their academic or other expertise and have then found opportunities to further enhance their academic abilities and expertise. And they associate themselves with Ahmadiyyat. Similarly, there are new Ahmadis. When they do bayt, i.e. the pledge of initiation, and enter the community because they have belief in the truthfulness of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam's claim, they too have the responsibility to fulfill the dues of the bayt. God Almighty will not absolve them from their responsibility, simply if they say that they only acted in this way because that is the way they saw the born Ahmadis or the long-term Ahmadis do.
Our
In this day and age, it is important to understand the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam's commentary, explanations and writings regarding the Holy Quran and Sunnah, i.e. the practical example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is important to analyze and study them, and these are available to everyone, and so no one has any excuse not to. However, I would say to the long-term Ahmadis that if anyone ever stumbles because of your actions, then you will also be culpable for that wrong act or sin. Therefore, the long-term Ahmadis, whom God Almighty has blessed because their forefathers accepted Ahmadiyyat, or they accepted Ahmadiyyat at a young age, and due to God Almighty's grace and benevolence, they have come here and found better conditions. They too should not forget that they are indebted to the Jamaat. And in order to show their gratitude for this favor, they should try to bring about an extraordinary pure change in their conditions. They should also tell their children about God Almighty's favor upon them by being part of this community. They should also inform them of their responsibilities. And that they should always try to fulfill the pledge of initiation that their forefathers made when they entered the community. They should be thankful to God Almighty for improving their financial situations after coming here, by instilling this teaching in their children also. They should tell their children to be thankful for the opportunities they have received to enhance their academic abilities by always forming a strong connection with the Nizam-e-Jamaat, i.e. the administrative system of the community. And that they are to always keep a bond of loyalty and obedience with Khilafat-e Ahmadiyya. Similarly, while attributing oneself to Ahmadiyyat, each and every Ahmadi is tasked with the obligation to maintain a strong relationship with the Nizam-e-Jamaat. And also to always keep a bond of loyalty and obedience with Khilafat-e Ahmadiyya. This is the pledge which one makes during the Bayt ceremony. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, the newcomers are particularly those who have come to understand and accept the claim of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam with full certainty. And they also continue to ponder over their pledge of allegiance and the conditions pertaining to it. And many people continue writing letters to me. However, a large number of those who were born Ahmadi were those whose parents in their youth had accepted Ahmadiyyat, or those whose parents, after having come to this country, became more preoccupied with their worldly affairs. Neither do they generally consider the conditions of Bayt, nor do they truly understand the pledge of Bayt. And nor do they remember the blessings of Allah the Exalted as a result of Ahmadiyyat. despite the fact that now the bad ceremony can be seen as well as heard everywhere on MTA. They do not endeavor to pay attention to the bad and the reality of bad, and nor to implementing it accordingly. Similarly, there are some who don't seek to create their bond with Khilafat in the manner that would do justice. This does not relate only to those who have taken asylum in these countries, but to all kinds of Ahmadis. I have only cited the example of those who have been granted asylum because the majority of those sitting before me at this moment are those who have been given asylum. And today, their conditions have improved on account of their being attributed to the Jamaat. Otherwise, such people are found in all groups of people and everywhere. Therefore, when every person makes an assessment of himself, he will find out where he stands. At the moment, for the purpose of this assessment, I present before you only one condition of the bed. But do not take a cursory glance at this, but carefully consider and then assess your own selves. If the answer to this question is in the affirmative, then such people are fortunate and are from among those who garner the favors of Allah the Exalted. However, if there is a weakness, then they should try to bring about a reform. With regards to the 10th condition of the bed, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states in the following words, that one shall enter into a bond of brotherhood with this humble one, pledging obedience to me in everything good for the sake of God, and remain faithful to it until the day of one's death. And one shall demonstrate such a high devotion in the observance of this bond as is not to be found in any other worldly relationship and connections that demand devoted dutifulness. Therefore, these are those words which have placed on us the responsibility to nurture a selfless, intense love and bond with the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. The promised Messiah alayhi salam is taking a pledge from us to establish a high standard of brotherhood and bond of love for Allah the Almighty's sake. Here, the oath is being taken from us to affirm that one will obey every maruf decision. This means obedience with respect to everything for which God Almighty has appointed the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and also with regards to everything the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam guides us about in light of the teaching of Islam. Further, not only to accept the instruction and not only to completely obey it, but to strive to remain established upon it until one's last breath. Moreover, one will also pledge that the standard of his bond and relationship of love will be of such a high status, the example of which will not be found in any worldly bonds and relations. Nor would one find an example of this bond in a case where one forms a relationship with another on account of his sincerity. Nor would one find an example of this bond in a case when a person becomes indebted to another and gives himself over to the other person. Thus, we pledge that after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the highest form of love can only be shown to his true and ardent servant, the promised Messiah alaihi salatu wasalam. Therefore, these are the standards which we must try to establish.
How should
how should one's relationship be with the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam after entering his bed? Everyone can make their own assessment in light of what was mentioned. Do we have these standards, or do we forget them in the face of worldly relations, worldly benefits, and worldly interests? Do worldly relations and objectives predominate over our relationship of love and obedience? People only do something when either they have a personal interest and gain from it, or, as is mostly the case, when something is not according to their liking, is done out of fear. They are compelled to do it, otherwise they will be questioned, and it's possible that they may even be punished. Or it is done purely because of his passion, love and sincerity. However, if one has true knowledge and understanding of faith, then one will carry out his religious duties because of his passion of love, sincerity and devotion. Therefore, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam expects us to enhance these passions after having done his bed. Until we do not develop this passion of obedience, sincerity and devotion, then these words of advice will have no effect, and nor will one make an effort to act upon them. Thus, if we want to act upon these advices, want to listen to his words, and want to fulfill our pledge of initiation, then we must improve the standards of our obedience, sincerity and devotion. Can any Ahmadi ever imagine that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam would say something contrary to the Quran and Sunnah, i.e. the character of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Certainly not. Therefore, every Ahmadi should understand that maruf obedience means to show complete obedience with full love and devotion. Complete obedience can only be possible when one is constantly searching for every commandment of the person to whom obedience is being shown. Therefore, it is incumbent upon us to find out the expectations the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has from us and his commandments and try to act upon them. Otherwise, it will be just a mere claim that we obey every word of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. If we do not have any knowledge of them, then how can we obey them? What is it that should be obeyed? Thus, being an Ahmadi, one of the conditions is that we should increase our knowledge. The relationship we have formed for the sake of God Almighty should be strengthened in order to seek His pleasure, and we should sincerely mold our lives according to those teachings. The guidance that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has imparted to the community and the expectations that he has from its members can be found in his various books and discourses. At this moment in time, I shall present some of them before you. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, our community should not be limited to speech. In other words, it should not just be limited to the words. Rather, they should fulfill the true purport of the bed. And what is that true purport? The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states to bring about an internal change. You cannot please God Almighty simply through words. If you do not bring about a change within you, then there is no difference between you and the others. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, further states, everyone should carry their own burden and should fulfill their pledges. Thus, to adopt the right doctrine, to take the bayt, to accept the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and to silence others in a discussion or debate holds no value if there is no change and improvement in one's practical conduct. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, stated that in order to bring about a change within yourself, you must strive and make an effort for it. Supplicate for it in your salat, give alms, and use all other means to become among those, which the Holy Quran states, and as for those who strive to meet us. What does, and as for those who strive to meet us, mean? God Almighty states that those who strive in my way results in, we will surely guide them in our ways. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has further elaborated on this elsewhere. He states, how can it be possible that one who is extremely careless and indolent receives God Almighty's beneficence? A person who is indolent can never benefit from it. The promised Messiah states that how can it be possible that an indolent person garner God Almighty's beneficence as compared to one who searches for Him with all his mental abilities and efforts and sincerity? Therefore, when the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says to listen to Him and follow Him and form a relationship of obedience, it is so that He can show us the ways to find God Almighty, so that He can tell us how to attain God Almighty and become the recipients of God Almighty's grace. And so that we can become those who offer their salat on time and in the proper manner, and so that we pay focus on alms and charity in order to attract God Almighty's love. In other words, our relationship with the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and obedience to Him strengthens our relationship with God Almighty. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states that be mindful of two things. Firstly, become models of true Muslims. Secondly, spread the qualities and excellences of Islam in the world. Preach and convey this message to the world. However, if our own knowledge is lacking and the condition of our physical conduct is a cause for concern, then how can we become models of true Muslims? How can we tell the world about the message of Islam and its excellences? The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further states, our Jamaat should take this matter very seriously. Whether they have taqwa, righteousness or not, this should be our greatest concern. Thus, this does not require any detailed explanation. Everyone is able to make their own assessment whether they have more concern for the world or are they more concerned for the betterment of faith. Also, is this concern only limited to them, or does it extend for their children too? Do they have the fear of God Almighty? Do they pay focus to winning the pleasure of God Almighty or does it become secondary when it comes to worldly relations? The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, avoiding unwarrantable fury and anger in daily matters is also a branch of taqwa, i.e. righteousness. Those who become angry over trivial matters should reflect upon their condition, because they are also moving away from taqwa. I have presented before you some of the advice given to us by the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam. And if we focus on them, they strengthen our relationship and love for the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, had such heartfelt concern for our lives in this world and the hereafter. He had more concern for us than even a father has, and was more anxious for us than a mother. He repeatedly advised us so that he could take us away from the wrong ways and put us on the path of God Almighty's pleasure. After this expression of concern and love, there should be no reason for an Ahmadi to not attain the high standards of bond and obedience with the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, so that their lives in this world and the hereafter can be reformed. It is God Almighty's favor on us that after the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, He has established the institution of Khilafat among us. The institution of Khilafat is furthering the works that were commissioned to the Promised Messiah alayhi salam by God Almighty. Therefore, by forging a relationship of sincerity and obedience with Khilafat, we can continue on our journey in order to attain our objectives, which the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam stated, which is to become models of true Muslims and spread the message of Islam in the world. Every Ahmadi also takes the bayt, i.e. the pledge of initiation on the hand of the Khalifa of the time. And so it is important to fulfill this pledge. Therefore, any instruction, advice and programs issued by Khilafat should be implemented in order to fulfill this pledge. Every Ahmadi pledges at the time of the bayt to abide by the conditions of the bayt, and he will obey the Khalifa of the time in everything good. As I mentioned earlier, that the tasks of the Khalifa of the time are to further the tasks and guidance of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, to spread the message of Islam to the corners of the earth. When every Ahmadi tries to mold himself with this viewpoint, only then will true standards of obedience be established. Only then will there be unity in the community, and only then will the avenues of tabligh, i.e. preaching, open up. However, there can be no progress if everyone who says that they have a bond of brotherhood and love with the Promised Messiah alayhi salam and obeys him, yet they ascertain their own respective paths. The beauty of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community is that the system of Khilafat is established in it. The relationship of every Ahmadi with the Promised Messiah alayhi salam is due to the fact that the Promised Messiah alayhi salam is the servant of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore, to continue this relationship, it is also important to maintain a bond with Khilafat. The day before yesterday, the foundation stone of the mosque was laid in Elmer. On that occasion, I spoke briefly in reference to the mosque, and I talked about Islamic teachings and the importance of a mosque, and the responsibilities of Ahmadis. Upon hearing this, a local non-Muslim female guest said that it is very nice what the Khalifa has said. However, let's see to what extent the local Ahmadis will adhere to these things and create an atmosphere of peace and love. Therefore, people are watching you. And so there is a need to review your conditions. People will observe you with reference to Khilafat. Simply taking the oath of allegiance will not suffice for this reason. Actions are required in order to reform our souls and do propagation, in order to establish our unity and to follow one leader everywhere and on all levels. Obedience to Khilafat is integral. In this day and age, Ahmadis are fortunate that Ahmadis have been blessed with the modern facilities and inventions that God Almighty has created. These facilities have also been provided to the Jamaat for the spread of faith. The writings of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam are available on TV, internet and websites, which we can access anytime we like. We can watch them in different well-known languages. We can also read it and listen to it. We can also listen to and read the advice and speeches of the Khalifa of the time, which comprises of the Holy Quran, the Hadith, and the words of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam. And this is the foundation of the message which is reaching every house today through MTA. MTA has given the community a new way of staying united. Therefore, every one of you should keep in mind that it is integral to develop a connection with MTA in order to become a part of this unity. Pay particular attention at least towards listening to the weekly Friday sermons. Every household should review their conditions, that whether each individual member of the household has listened to the Friday sermon or not. Also, there is no benefit if a wife listens to the Friday sermon and her husband does not listen, or if a father listens to the Friday sermon but the mother and children are not listening. Even then, there is still no benefit. The system which has been created by Allah the Almighty for the sake of unity, for this purpose, the voice of the Khalifa of the time reaches every corner of the world at the same time. And every Ahmadi is required to become a part of it. Hence, pay attention towards this. If it is not known what is being said, then how will it be obeyed? If you listen to what is being said, only then you will be able to obey it. Hence, find out the things that need to be followed. Otherwise, it is a mere claim and only an announcement. The announcement which is made on gatherings or at the time of initiation of Ba'th, that I, both men or women, will abide by whatever important decision you make. Or we will continue to strive to strengthen Khilafat Ahmadiyya. May Allah the Almighty enable each household to pay attention towards this matter. And may Allah the Almighty enable us to fully benefit from the facilities granted to us for our training. And not only for our training, but it is also playing an important role for spreading the teaching of Islam. If for some reason one cannot listen to the live proceedings, recordings can be listened to. This program and various other programs are also available on the internet, especially Friday sermons and other special programs. May Allah the Almighty grant everyone the ability to develop a special relationship with the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and also with the ongoing system of Khilafat which has been established after him. And may he enable everyone to exhibit model of obedience. May this very relationship and obedience according to the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam lead everyone to the obedience of Allah and his pleasure through the obedience of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah the Almighty enable everybody to attain this. After offering prayers, I will lead a funeral prayer in absentia of our missionary of the community, respected Hafiz Muhammad Iqbal Waraj Sahib. He passed away in an accident on October 2nd at the age of 49. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. On October 2nd in the morning, he was traveling alone in his car to his native village, Jagbaniyar, to visit his paternal uncle. Near Balwal, while crossing the railway line, he perhaps did not see the approaching train and was struck by it. Although he did not have any apparent injuries, police also reached on the scene and they called for an ambulance or a car in which he was taken to the hospital, but he did not survive while at the hospital. Hafiz Muhammad Iqbal Sahib's grandfather was Chaudhry Fazal Ahmad Sahib. His great-grandfather was a companion of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, whose name was Chaudhry Allah Bakhsh Sahib. His great-grandfather took the oath of allegiance in 1901, and the promised Messiah alayhi salam changed his great-grandfather's name from his previous name, which was Rasul Bakhsh, to Allah Bakhsh. After retirement, his father Chaudhry Muhammad Zafrullah Waraj Sahib devoted his life and served the community in different offices in Rabwa. Hafiz Sahib, the missionary, his early education was from Rabwa. And after that he memorized the Holy Quran. He completed his school education and then got admission in Jamia Ahmadiyya. Besides this, he also completed Arabic Fazil and Urdu Fazil. He was appointed in different places in Pakistan. Presently, he was serving as Secretary Kafalat Yaksad Yatima. He has 5 children, 3 daughters are married and 2 children are young, of ages 17 and 10. His brother, respected Tahir Mehdi Imtiaz Sahib, is also a missionary of the community and presently he is the manager of Ziaul Islam Press. But due to the restrictions imposed on Al-Fazl, a case was filed against him as well. Therefore, he is in jail since several months. May Allah the Almighty provide the means of his release, because the courts are very cowardly. Initially, the judge granted his bail, but then cancelled it due to the fear of mullahs. May Allah the Almighty enable them to administer justice, and may Allah the Almighty provide the means of his release and of the innocent Ahmadis who are incarcerated. Mehboob Ahmed Rajeki Sahib, who is the president of the community in Sadullapur, he states that in 2003, when the conditions of the community in Sadullapur worsened, Hafiz Iqbal Sahib was posted as a missionary there. And he made many contacts with the non-Ahmadi opponents. Due to this, the opponents not only refrained from opposing the community, rather one of the biggest opponents, who was the top leader, also apologized for his opposition of the community. So in this respect, Hafiz Sahib was very well connected and he used to strengthen his relations with his contacts. It is a different matter that in Pakistan, a big segment of people, despite the fact that they like Ahmadiyya, or at least consider the propaganda carried out against Ahmadiyya as false, but they cannot declare this openly due to the fear and the fear of the mullahs or the fear of society. However, Allah the Almighty creates such circumstances in small areas where people openly speak out. Majid Sahib, who is one of the workers at the office where Hafiz Sahib was presently working, says that in all the places where Hafiz Sahib was posted, he had maintained the contact with them until his demise. People used to visit him and seek advice from him, and he would also help them. Hafiz Sahib also had a good quality of spending the money of the headquarters of the community in an appropriate manner. He would do whatever was possible in order to help in the constructions of the houses for the widows, and he would also try to get this construction done in least possible money. Then, sometimes during the construction, if Hafiz Sahib happened to stop by, Muhammad Ahmad Rajaki says that he would start working with the laborers. Khalid Sahib, who works at the Russian desk in London, says that Hafiz Sahib was his class fellow. He was very hospitable and sincere. He says the one particular thing which I experienced was that Hafiz Sahib was very passionate towards propagation and he was very dedicated to it. Perhaps when Hafiz Sahib was posted in Sadiqabad or Saadullahpur, there was a Russian company there which was working on a particular project. Because Khalid Sahib had learned the Russian language in Russia, therefore, when Khalid Sahib went to Pakistan, Hafiz Sahib learned some Russian words from him after insisting consistently. Then, on his own accord, he had transcribed some Russian words in Urdu calligraphy for the purpose of propagation. So this was his passion for propagation. May Allah the Almighty enable all the missionaries that they try to find out new ways of propagation according to the condition and environment. May Allah the Almighty treat late Hafiz Sahib with forgiveness and mercy and exalt his ranks and give patience and courage to his wife and children, and may he enable them to adopt his virtues.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نعمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل والاحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.